Am I Jeff Goldblum? Mr. Right. He like drags them away from their happy time, and they all just decide to go home to Ted's home. By the way, Ted's showing up, and what does he like put through the door before he even enters the door? Is a record with Julio Iglesias, and I turned to Naomi, and I'm like, "Hey Naomi, do you remember Julio Iglesias?"
I remember the name, but if you're trying to seduce a girl, no.
Here's the thing. Your original reaction was like, no. And I was like, neither do I. But actually, Julio Iglesias is father to Enrique Iglesias. So Ted shows up and he's like, I'm gonna try and, you know, like make things right with Val. Because
yeah, sorry, Val got him out of the club because they were all getting too horny.
Yeah. And so he comes over and he like, you know, is trying to like make things right. And then he sees all of the destruction that she caused in his home.
Oh, including the...
The Commodore 64 and the bowling ball.
It was supposed to survive anything.
Apparently not.
Suck it, Commodore. So sorry, I started on Atari. I'm old, but I'm like, what? Suck it.
My spreadsheets!
Did you start out on spreadsheets?
Commodore 64 is a computer. Atari is a gaming console.
Jonathan, did
you... Commodore 64 had games on it?
Yeah.
No, wait, hold on, honey. Honey, when you were like, me? I was like, I started on Atari, not Commodore 64. And then you were like, my spreadsheets. And I was like, did you start your phone on spreadsheets? I'm woo-wooing his face right now, if you can't tell. Woo-woo-woo.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
So, and Ted calls the police because of all of this destruction. And he...
It's an MTV band that I, like, won for the weekend.
Val shows up with these guys, and he's just like, well, who are these guys?
I just sent them to my MTV band. I won them for a weekend.
Right.
Could you ever imagine winning somebody for any period of time?
The cops show up, and there's, like, a specific shot of Damon Wayans of Ziploc, or Zeebo, hiding. Like, he is, like, behind the couch, and he just kind of, like, you know, hides behind the couch, and there's a specific shot of it.
Whiplock takes center stage, though. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like...
He's, like, exercising.
He's, like, eating fish in front of the cops. He's like, F you guys, my fudgers, woo!
And these cops are like, I think they ask Val what's really going on here. And she's like, sirs, I've kicked him out of the house. And he is here disrupting my guests.
To be fair, it's probably totally his house. And she has not paid the majority share.
Right.
It's just that domestic thing that's just like, he's been and he needs to go.
Right.
And which gives the woman the right.
Call out to LA's finest emergency responders. They do save the fish before it can get eaten.
I have it in my notes. I said fish saving cop doesn't like the... Oh, no. Okay, so at one point, Dr. Douchebag, he goes, no, my... Oh, I don't know what I wrote there. I'm like a doctor in my writing. My two bluegill dorky.
Yeah.
And the cop who was... actively saving the fish was like, what did you say?
And like at that point she's just sort of like, this man, I've kicked him out yesterday, he disrupting my guests. And the cops are like, okay guy, it looks like she traded up.
Okay. He was like, yeah, you f***ed it up. We got to get you out of here.
Wedding's off, Val. I don't want you anymore.
They drag him out of his house. And he's just like, he's just being a jerk and an asshole. And so Val is emotionally, like, exhausted.
Dudes. Okay. Two dudes. Weeblow and Ziploc. Whiplock.
Windex and Ziploc.
Windex and Ziploc. They're both like kind of going to their rooms, and like Mac is like,
they're just like, yeah, totally.
She's like in her bedroom, she strips down to her, and I don't know about you, but I love to sleep in my super tight bra and 80s bloomer panties.
And she's just right in bed in her underwear. And then a guy comes in and she's just like, you know, I'm really bummed because
she's playing. Okay. I want you to go on with, she's really bummed, blah, 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 blah. But she's playing with this like bear that I think will speak to younger audiences because it's a scary FNAF bear. Are you a Final Nights at Freddy's fan?
I know. Oh, it was?
It wasn't exactly a FNAF bear, but it was like a...
It looked similar to it?
It had like big googly eyes and like a super wide mouth, and it was obviously some remembrance from her and douchebag doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But like, child. No. When I'm lonely and sad, I don't whip out my Teddy Ruxpin and like... pull out the old tapes.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Teddy Braxton, and I want to take you through the land of...
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so she's bummed, and she pulls out her creepy teddy bear. Creepy teddy bear? Mm-hmm. That looks like a character from Five Nights at Freddy's. Yes, and then Matt comes in.
Sex is out of the question.
Matt comes in, he's just like, what's going to make you happy? And she's just like, oh no. Like, she's in her underwear, and when he puts sex on the table, that's when she starts becoming more modest and covering herself okay. up.
Okay. He says, what is... She's like, sex is off the table! Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what is sex? Don't tell me it's bad, because here's the trope that you and you... And you.
She's pointing to Luigi.
And you.
And an old man in a painting.
And you.
And Toad. Lots of Mario characters here.
And you.
And Vincent Van Gogh. Is it Van Gogh or Van Gogh?
Van Gogh. Van Gogh. It depends if you're British or not.
Van Gogh.
Here's a trope that I don't know if you're aware of. And I want to tell you right now. Jonathan, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
I often do.
I am not wrong.
But I often correct you.
What is up with the 80s sex idiot?
You mean like, what is love?
No. Kind of, but no. The 80s sex idiot. Are you with me on this? Jeff Goldblum is an alien species.
Right.
They don't experience sex as we experience sex. We don't really know. Right?
Right.
But cut to exit in Eden. Right? Like, I just want to have sex with you, but I don't want to know anything about you or whatever. Right?
I've never seen Exit to Eden.
Girl, we're going to get there.
Okay.
It's inappropriate.
Okay.
Way more inappropriate than this, which is like saying something. Did you ever watch, any time in the 80s where someone was, like, for whatever reason, not experienced in sex, but then had sex and it was totally chill?
You're talking about Tom Hanks and Big.
One.
Oh.
But also think of Rocky in Rocky Horror Picture Show. He was brand new.
Oh, wow.
He was an idiot. He was expected to have sex. The
70s movie.
The sex idiot has been a trope in our culture for a long time. It kind of lends itself to, like, the sex doll culture. It kind of lends itself to, like, the more grotesque, like, person not being there sort of culture. But let's not doubt that although Goldblum kind of knows what sex is because he got a sexy culture, he's essentially playing a sex idiot in this scene. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. Because
what is sex?
And so she tries to explain that to him. But then she says to, sex is when you get naked. And so he gets naked.
He's like, oh, this is what we do for sex?
Right.
And she's like, when two people are compatible. And she looks over and she sees his whatnot. Yeah. And she's like, that'll work.
Yeah. Well, she's like, I don't even know if we'll be compatible. Because throughout this entire scene, and this is my grievance with the scene, she keeps saying, no, we can't do this. But then
he keeps proving her wrong.
He like, there are moments where she is like taking these. It's almost like she's saying, no, we can't do this because of me and Ted. Oh, well, that's kind of gone by the wayside. Or no, I can't do this because we're not compatible. Oh, maybe we are. And then she's just like,
I don't want you to think Earth girls are easy. And right. He's all like, oh, God, he says the sexiest line. Let's make Jonathan say it.
Roll credits.
No. He says the sexiest line of the entire film. He goes, oh, you weren't there for that. Okay, here, come with me. He goes, what's easy? Yeah, no, it's the sexiest line of the film because she's like, I don't want you to think Earth girls are easy. And he goes, what's easy?
Before he does that, though, she's like rattling off different things and he like literally shushes her.
He shushes her a couple times.
Easy is a Mac. It's only got one button on the mouse.
Oh my.
Mac is easy.
No, Jonathan, the line is, what's easy? Okay. Can you just say what's easy in a sexy Jeff Goldblum sort of way? That's all I'm asking for.
Please.
Okay, because what is easy? Because...
No, now don't go extrapolate. That's the whole point.
What is easy? What is easy?
God, I've explained to you my Jeff Goldblum. Wait, Jeff Goldblum, time limit.
You see, there is so much chaos. There is so much chaos around us. You could just look at the dinosaurs. Look at the dinosaurs around you and notice all the chaos around you. But what is easy for girls? Earth girls.
You're not making this easy for Naomi. Okay, so...
You are now silenced until we finish discussing the sex scene.
Okay, so the sex scene, though, you guys, is like the greatest sex scene. Sorry, I just shouted.
And, I know, I'm down. I'm perfectly down. There are 6 points of this that I want you to tell me on... I want you to tell me on a 0 to 10 scale how you feel about this thing.
Okay.
1, face painting.
It is the...
0 to 10.
10! 11!
Floating.
11?
The most awkward kissing.
6.
Light show.
11.
Mist.
11.
Confetti.
10. Only because if we get everywhere, but it's confetti. Anyways.
Okay, did you notice his eyes are open the entire time they're kissing?
I did not.
His eyes are open the entire time they're kissing.
It is like the like you said, face paint. For me, it was more like, you know, when you're in the throes of passion, when someone touches you, it's just sort of like, it's kind of like you light up a little bit.
I'm totally down. Like, in terms of if you were to take this abstract wise, here's the thing what happened, though.
Oh, yeah.
My practically nephew walked in the room as soon as he painted her face. Lil S.O. showed up, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna pause this. We're gonna come back to it. But he's face painting her right now. I don't know what to do. So maybe it lost some of its potency.
Right, and this is a throwback to the moment where they touched the cat, and then the cat went from, like, aggravated to chill.
Yeah, he used love touch on the cat, and I was using love touch on her, but... Like, it's not just love touch on her because she takes a lot of baby pills in the morning.
Right.
Okay. Previous to the dream sequence, you would like to point out what, my dear Malcolm?
Okay. So,
yes, I love calling you Malcolm when we talk about Jeff Goldblum. Go.
Cool. By the end, by the end of her discussion with Jeff Goldblum, she succumbs to her sexual urges. And for all of my nitpicking and the ambiguity around the consent in the first scene that I felt was there, I really think that this is one of the best sex scenes that I've ever seen in a movie.
It is quick. It is intense. It is sincere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of down for the prettiness of it. Like, a sex scene can be nitty gritty. Right. It can be very, like, what's the word when animals do it? Carnal?
Yeah.
But, like, this scene is kind of pretty, and you can kind of tell. I will note at this point in our podcast, applauders, that Gina Davis and Jeff Goldblum are married in this film. And all wherever you place that kind of value, like, it's kind of nice.
Right, right. I did note that it was very short. It was only like 45 seconds, and I kind of wanted more. But Val has a dream.
Oh, God. Dream sequence. Too much to comprehend. It's only a third of a page. Go.
All right. So she has this dream where she's all worried about, like, being in relationship with an alien and what all that's going to mean. Like, what are alien relatives? Well, not... Okay. So it's not, like, really, like, what are all of those going to be? It's actually an interesting scene, partly because of the fact that she has had a sequence of events over the last day that have, like, kind of collated in her dreaming about everything. Like, her relationship with Ted is brought up in the scene. The fact that she's got all these aliens around her I think at one point there's an alien girl jumping on one of those like little
it's
like
the bouncy thing that happened after Skip It's. It's the Saturn bouncy orb thing,
right? And her, and the mom comes in and says,
"I told you not to have any fun."
And she's like, "I wasn't having any fun." And I'm like, "Is that like? Are they trying to tell us like this is a moment in Val's life that she's remembering, like something that happened to her?" Which
is the it's the Christmas yet to come. Look, my notes are like aliens, Beauty and the Beast, alien baby in fridge. Is that baby? I don't know who that is.
Yeah,
I'm like dogs and cats living together. Mass chaos,
mass hysteria.
It has to hurt if it is to heal.
There's too many references, Jonathan. Please cut out my swear just now, because it is not Peter Venkman. It is not the reference you made.
Ghostbusters.
She has a giant phone at one point.
Yeah. She sees Ted, and what is he doing? He's
macking on a four-boob chick.
Right. And then he comes out, and he, like, has this confrontation with Mac.
Still a dick, even in dreamland.
Yeah. But, like, what I thought was interesting about that dream sequence is two of the guys who she has been romantically involved with over the last 24 hours, she is, like, they're fighting against each other, and she takes a blow dryer, and she points it at them and tells them to stop. I think this is her subconscious saying, you need to knock both of those guys to the curb and focus on your career. That was just my thought. But really,
amen, sister.
Her nail cares. Career?
Yes.
I think that if I'm going to nitpick what you say apart just a little bit, you want
Please
me
do.
To?
Please do.
Look, we are a s'more.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like to pull up the marshmallow. You know what I'm saying?
No.
We're a marshmallow s'more. And sometimes I pull up the marshmallow.
Get out of the Ghostbusters references.
You know what I'm trying to say is, she says, there is a giant hairdryer in my pool. And there's an obvious direction she wants to go.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm just going to pull your marshmallow a bit.
That's okay. No, please do. Because I want her to get with Mac.
Me too.
I want her to go
because
on an
alien
adventure.
Because he only talks for 7 minutes of the film. Here's the thing. Jeff Goldblum doesn't speak a lot. And I feel like him speaking is detrimental to his appearance in a film on a bell curve that could be quantified by somebody more mathematically inclined than me.
You can't get more mathematically inclined than Malcolm from Jurassic Park.
I know. He's benchmark. They only keep him in for about 7 minutes. Prove me wrong.
Val wakes up and takes 6 birth control pills.
My butt says takes a lot of birth control.
Yep.
Bad news. Two hearts? Time Lord? Question mark. Neighbor, painting ship. Repair montage.
The pool has been drained and they start repairing their ship.
Do you want some instant decaf? Because actually I own instant decaf and it's not that bad.
Jeff Goldblum has his shirt off.
Ding.
And
we can go home now.
Right. And the pool guy is the pool guy shows up.
Woody.
And
who is
Michael McKean. And they play off the spaceship as though it's a finished car. And he's just like, yeah, it's totally cool, man.
Totally happens to me all the time. Tells her to drive a car into a pool all the time. Tells her.
Yeah. And then Ted calls Val and does the whole I don't want to break up thing. And Val makes an analogy.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Before you go to the fingernail thing.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. She has a heart phone in her kitchen. She's speaking on lip phones right now. There's a third comical phone coming up. But she's like, what he says, which makes me dismiss him for the rest of the film, I need you to take care of me.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't it make you want to scream?
Yeah, because she's not your mom.
You're a grown man.
Do it yourself.
You know what? Make your peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
You know what? Get yourself to work on time.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't fuck other bitches. Got opinions.
And Val, I love the analogy that Val makes. She's like, a relationship is like a porcelain nail. If it breaks, you can go ahead and glue it back on, but it's not going to work if the other person doesn't stop cheating.
It doesn't stop bringing home nurses. Something like that. It's so good.
Yeah, it's so good. She's like,
the porcelain nail needs to stop bringing home nurses. Like, oh, it's so pretty, 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 pretty.
So the pool guy then takes Zeebo and Whiplock to catch some fine honeys at the beach.
Let's not dismiss. Mac eavesdrops on this conversation, but he only walks in when she's like, when's the last time you said I love you? That's when he walks in. Yeah. I love you. I need you. I want you in my life. And he's like, oh shit, he wants her. He needs her. He needs her in his life. Mm-hmm. And he was respectful, I kind of thought. He was like, oh shit, she's in it with somebody else. They better back up. I'm not Mr. Right.
Right. And he's just sort of like, okay, this is what she wants. I totally will respect that. And it kind of takes place later on, which we will get to later when we come to that point.
We got two more pages of notes, you sexy applauders.
Ooh, take your shirt off or don't.
I'll add it to the tally. You know I have one. We cut to musical, what I call number 5, but it's probably number 7. Because I'm a blonde. Yeah. Because I'm a blonde. I had this song sung to me as a little girl a lot.
Oh.
Who sang it to you?
My mother.
She sang this song to you, but she wouldn't let you watch the movie.
She sang the refrain.
I think she was just jealous. Redheads.
She had an abnormal hair color, and so did I. We bonded over that. But now I'm a redhead. And
so when she said the refrain, was that the, I just want to say that being chosen as this month's August is a compliment I'll remember for as long as I can. Right now I'm a freshman in my 4th year at UCLA, but my goal is to become a veterinarian because I love children. At one point, there's a lot of like brunette dissing in this moment.
To get straight up dissed.
Yeah. And like, I'm just sort of like, I feel a little personally attacked because I'm a brunette. But then this song does stuff like that, and I can't hate it. The song is making fun of itself on so many levels that I can't hate it.
Because I'm a blonde B-L-O.
I don't know.
Both our last review and this review both have earworm kind of songs embedded into them. The never-ending story.
Yeah, but blonde.
Yeah.
All right, whatever the fudge nuggets. Here's the thing. We're a page and a half away from done.
Yes.
Let us forge on.
Day 5.
I mean, podcast episode number 27.
Yeah. So they have this musical number. And then
did I mention that it was added after the fact?
It was, well, in like the movie, it looks like it's a dream sequence, so that makes sense.
Okay, so what happened was they recorded the entire movie, and they're like, we cut a lot of scenes. All I know is that they were like, this is too bad to be in this movie. And then, applauders, we're only at 4.56 seconds. What are we going to do to round out our movie? Let's stick out a song about blondes for like 4 minutes.
I would have preferred 4 minutes longer of the sex scene, personally.
But I'm a blonde. I'm a blonde. I can't spell VW, but I own a Porsche. God. Why? Okay.
And so they go and they stop and get gas. And then they get like...
We're talking about Zeebo and Ziploc. Weebo and Ziploc.
Woodex and Ziploc.
Gosh, dang it. Weeblo and Whiplock. Zeebo and Whiplock. I'm a blonde. Bah, bah, bah.
Yeah.
I'm not even sad about it. Look.
So, Whiplock and Zeebo go, and Woody.
Woody's like, hey man, I'll take you serving this some fine ladies there.
Mm-hmm. And so they go, but they have to stop and get gas. Because the beach is a long way away. Maybe. Maybe not.
So he's like, hey man, I gotta take a whiz. I'll pay for gas. Why don't you go inside and get us some treats?
But before they get inside, there's like a kid at the gas station who like points a fake gun at them, and then Zeebo puts his finger in the gun.
That guy stole my gun. I told him not to bring a gun out of the gas station. Why don't you just get in the car, you stupid kid?
Yeah. And so they go inside to get some snacks.
We need snacks and cash and candy.
Yeah.
I appreciate that they don't have any weird alien dietary restrictions, like they have to eat cats. Like,
Elf. Are you making an Elf reference?
Yes,
I am indeed.
What about the Coneheads, where they just had to eat a whole bunch?
Well, okay, so the way it plays out is they get the fake gun from the kid. They go in. They're directed by Woody to go inside and get some food. They have this fake gun, and the cashier at the grocery store thinks that he's being held up. So they get all of the stuff that they want, and then when they go back to the car, Woody's like, I gotta go drain the lizard. And so when he goes in there, the cashier's like, I was just held up at gunpoint. And he like calls the police and everything, and so they come. It's a little bit convoluted, but essentially...
They're playing a B-52 song the whole time. It's right, all right. It's all right. Convoluted is all right as long as you got a B-52 song.
There is a woman who shows up in a pink Corvette.
I call her uber blonde, but I'm sure she's the personality from the 80s.
Yeah, she's another stereotype, or like, what is it, another archetype? Or,
well, I truly trope. Think maybe more than a trope, I think she was an actual celebrity. I just don't know. I just don't remember who.
They back up into her car,
mm-hmm.
and then they back up away, and then they get stuck on the freeway.
They like do this joyride thing that lands them in a donut.
A very big donut named Randy's Donuts.
Which is a throwback to Randy's Donuts, but also I think of The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not terribly important, because what happens is Max shows up at the site, because he's been literally running after the car.
Yes.
And they decide, she's like, the uber blonde is like, I think that's one of those guys.
And they're like, him. Are you sure?
She's like, I think so.
Maybe I may be wrong. And they're like, good enough for me.
Bwomp. And then Gina Davis is like, you can't take him away. You can't take him away. And he's like, you're not getting arrested. What's up with you? And she's like, I'm going to take this bumper and bust your light. And then she gets arrested, too.
Yeah.
So then it's Gina Davis and Mac. I know it's Valerie and Mac in the back of the police car with Dude and Dude.
Right. With the police officers. And Zeebo. They hear that Zeebo and Whiplock are being taken to the hospital.
Oh, they're playing like Kicks on Route 66 right now.
Yeah. They're in, Mac and Val are in the police car. And
wait, before they go, before they go, Woody goes, jail ain't too bad. It's where I learned to surf. Michael McKean, you are a gem.
Yes.
Go on.
And so Mac and Val are in the police car, and they find out that they're the two other alien children are on their way to the hospital.
That's where Dr. Douchebag works.
Yeah, and so she's like, use your love touch on them, and then they'll be so distracted with me.
It finally registered to me at this point in my notes that he's the original Orgasmo. Yep. Do you remember Orgasmo? South Park, go on.
And so she, he's like, are you sure? And she's just like, yeah, go ahead, do it. And so he does it, and it does it to the two police officers.
Oh, the deal is she wants them to both hone in on her so it can be like, bend to my will, you sexy policeman pussycats.
But it doesn't, because they end up falling in love with each other.
Yeah. I'm on Reddit, so like I was like r/suddenlygay, which is the page I follow, which I can't substantiate for why I follow it. But like, suddenly gay is hilarious, so we'll talk about that later.
And so they end up apparently like when they
drop the gay. Okay, the now gay officers,
mm-hmm.
follow me down this path.
Right.
The now gay officers, turned by the touch, but maybe it's something more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't change who you are. They're like, well, you can drive while we make out in the back seat, and then we'll take you to the hospital. And so they end up at Dr. Douchebag's hospital, where Zeebo and Whiplock, thank you for the thumbs up, ended up at the same hospital.
Right.
Under Dr. Douchebag.
Right. In my notes, I have us see Ted coming into the emergency room with Zeebo and Whiplock. But beforehand, he's handed something by a nurse who specifically calls him Dr. Love. Which was a reference.
Where did it come from? It must have been that nurse who was like, I can't believe he tried to pull some shit.
Mm-hmm, because that happened. And they're like, Zeebo and Whiplock are like surfing on the stretchers. And when Ted checks them out, he finds out that they have two heartbeats.
Oh my goodness.
And then we see Val and Mac showing up. And I don't know if you noticed this, but on the second viewing, I noticed that Mac was like mimicking some things that Gina Davis was doing with her hands. And like she was fiddling with her hair, and he'd fiddle with her hair. And then she'd like, you
with
know,
his hair?
No, she was Val was fiddling with her own hair, and while she's doing that, he's fiddling with her with his hair. And then, like, she makes a fist in her left hand, and his right hand has, like, makes a fist. And then when she drops her fist, he drops his fist.
They're all about imitating.
Right. And then he, like, grabs a flower off of the receptionist table and gives it to her as they're trying to, like, free his friends.
That's darling.
Oh.
I didn't notice that flower grab.
Mm-hmm.
But I do notice that when they're, she's like, how are we going to get there? I don't know how we're going to get up there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to do something.
I would like it noted that at this point, Mac is definitely in the realm of gentrification of all Earth life. Mm-hmm. Like, he's taking on all of our traits. He's copying everything.
Yeah, but I think he's going to bring her into his culture, and it's going to level out.
No, I think it's going to be more like, you're going to be my love slave for the rest of this.
I mean, if he does it the way he does it, I don't mind.
Travel through time and space with me through my little cardboard 1950s.
And if she gets uppity, he can love touch.
Okay, go back on track. I'm sorry.
Okay. Because here's the thing. She's like, oh, we're going to have to do something terrible. And they follow a nurse into the elevator, mm-hmm. Mac and Valerie. And she goes, it means doing something terrible to an innocent person. And then she turns and she looks and it's the nurse who was seducing her would-be husband.
Was she seducing?
No. He was trying to Mac on her.
Yeah.
But, like, she wasn't, like, searching it out before she was going to jump on it.
Val still sees her as the other woman.
Yeah, and reasonably so, although she's kind of innocent. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't get terribly abused. Just, like, mostly abused. And we can debate that out in the comments. But she's, like, Valerie turns and sees that it's the nurse. They're, okay, so Mac, nurse, and Valerie are in the elevator. And she goes, it means doing something terrible to an innocent person. And she turns and she sees it's the nurse who was about to diddle her fiance. And she's like,
this is going to be fun. Yeah. And so Val pretty much holds her at gunpoint, drags this woman into a room. And the only person who is able to potentially help this nurse.
He's mentioned in the credits. I didn't write it down. I'm sorry.
She's like, I'm being held at gunpoint. Call someone. He's just like, as soon as he hears that she's going to strip, he's just like, no. Like, it's not even like a, I don't think so. I think I'm going to take advantage of this. It's more like a, no, what makes you think that I'm going to? I don't know.
Okay, so she makes the nurse strip. Patient is like, no. She puts on the outfit. She and, I don't know where Mac got the doctor outfit, but they go kind of skipping down the hallway hand in hand. And nobody calls Boo.
No.
I'd have called Boo, but whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so they, the two, now disguised, enter the emergency room where Weebo and Zeebo and Whiplock, I'm going to get there, guys, you don't even know, are examined, and Dr. Dip is like, oh, you got two hearts, you got two hearts.
I'm going to be on Time Magazine.
Ugh. I was already on Time Magazine, weren't you, Lydia? You were.
It was in 1982.
Nope.
No?
You were literally on Time Magazine. Jonathan, you can Google it.
Was there a picture of the Earth?
No.
No?
No.
No?
It was a mirror. We are all on Time Magazine because the person of the year was you.
Oh,
it was like the tackiest thing I've ever heard.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's awful. No, it's awful. I get it.
Do you know that Time Magazine covers change for the U.S. versus the world? They have a completely different cover for the rest of the world.
Are you saying that in 1939, when Hitler was on the cover of Time magazine, maybe in Austria it wasn't?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't want to know.
Anyways.
Maybe that's too deep.
Let's talk about Earth Girls Are Easy, guys.
They walk in, Val and Mac,
mm-hmm.
and they proceed to auditorily overstimulate poor Dr. McDouchebag. I mean, I get auditory overstimulation. Okay. They just...
It's like the scene where you said it was a noise stomp. It's like a reprise of that scene. They like that scene so much, they used it twice.
Except it's heartbeats, medical equipment.
Yeah.
Jumping, stamping, whatever.
Right. And Val is able to make her escape with the guys... And she stuffs them in the back of her car.
All three. Mac, Zeebo, Whiplock. They're on the back seat of the car. And then Dr. Douchebag sweet talks her how.
He's just like, I'm so stressed, and we just need to go to Vegas and get married.
What about my dress?
All the while not seeing the guys at the back of the car.
Oh my goodness, my veil.
And we can just do that later.
I can't tell if she, I thought initially she was swept up in it and she was just trying to get these guys out of his way.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time we cut to her packing her bag and is like, something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue, which is me trying really hard not to sing a Chameleon Circuit song. Like...
She is really into the idea of still marrying Ted, even though how crappy he has treated her.
Nothing has turned out towards Ted.
No.
But she's still orientating herself towards him.
Right.
Let's cut to him packing his bag.
He's a stethoscope.
A pair of bare slippers. They're like bare feet that are slippers.
A book about money.
You already said stethoscope.
Yeah. And then something that we weren't entirely sure if it was a vibrator.
It's a couple. Okay, there's a vibrator.
Samwise said it was a vibrator.
You interpreted it.
I thought that's what we had agreed on.
You and I 100% assume it's a vibrator. It is a white bar with a cord and like a light on it, but you can't tell what it really is. And then like two videotapes.
Yeah.
And then he's holding the handcuffs while he talks to Barbara. Now, Lydia, I'd like you to substantiate Barbara to me because I want to scream at both of them.
So he's asking Barbara to cover his shifts because he's going to Vegas to, you know, lose some money and maybe get married. And Barbara gets rightfully pissed because he's been
diddling Barbara this whole time. And he's like, hey, I'm getting married. It doesn't mean we can't date.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, it does mean you can't date anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You should have dated while you were engaged. What is that even about?
And so and after that we cut to Val going out and seeing the aliens picking up and leaving, and she makes a statement. Weeblock, I'll miss you least of all.
Damon says, want Tanya to have his number,
right?
Weeblock, I think I'll miss you most of all.
No, she says least of all.
No, she just said least of all. She says, Weeblock, I'll miss you least of all. And he goes, Liplock with Weeblock?
Which is totally his catchphrase. And also a callback to Wizard of Oz.
Wait, what?
I will miss you the most.
Yeah.
Oh, she's right. Wizarding of Oz. She's Dorothy. She's Dorothying them off.
Right.
Oh, okay. Actually, yeah. I'm going to give you fish knuckles.
But it's also his catchphrase. So it's like a double reference thing. Okay.
I support you. I agree with you. I kind of missed that point. What?
Okay, never mind.
So out comes
Ted.
Yes, and he's like, ooh, ooh. Let me give you a couple to work with when you edit this, Jonathan. Dingle dangle, because he runs into a bunch of wind chimes because he's a dip.
Yeah. And he freaks out because they're aliens. And, you know, at one point he says Val is contaminated.
You're contaminated. He grabs a pool skimmer, which, you know, Woody left behind at some point. He's like, he's going to bap the ship with a pool skimmer and that's going to solve the day.
Woody had priorities, people. He was going to the beaches to hit up some women's, some WOMs.
Okay, so then we learned that from a distance, Mac can cast Love Touch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, D&D girl to D&D person to D&D on the peripheral. Ish
on the peripheral, yeah.
Oh, you listen to Critical Role or whatever. Like, you don't know. You thought you had to be in contact with a person to cause love distraction. But I'm like, oh, Love Touch distraction is what I call it. But like.
And then they start making out, even though they were fighting like seconds before.
She's talking about Valerie and Dr. Douchebag. Oh. They on the floor of the pool, that the pool has now been drained, and they're like.
But it doesn't stick with Val.
The spaceship tries to pull away, and Valerie's like, I ain't having it.
Oh, guys. Hey, listeners. This is like an actual live reaction. So. It doesn't stick with Val because she doesn't want to be with Ted, which means my whole consent argument is like thrown right out the window because she doesn't. If there wasn't anything there, then it wouldn't stick at all.
So it's amplifying It's just amplifying what's already there.
Yeah.
They say that nothing is done drunk that has not been thought of while sober. Mm-hmm. Right?
I don't know.
It's a saying.
Okay. I trust you. I believe you.
Thank you. I think what is kind of endearing about the gay scene earlier was that maybe they were totally into it and they were like super into it.
Which actually makes sense because at some point, like, one of the cops like makes a Liza Minnelli reference, which, I mean, if you don't know anything about Liza Minnelli in the gay community, you should Google it because there's a lot of fine content about that.
Okay.
These were obviously gay men that were written by a woman who felt like she wanted to empower that community, but maybe didn't necessarily know how to represent them.
And the actors doing the parts, they kind of sassed it in a way that wasn't exactly the gay
I'm pretty sure they
know.
Were straight mm-hmm. actors, not...
And they were just like, I want to make it super thick. Okay, we're going to talk about this later because we might get to my shocked and applaud notes.
Right,
in the next 10 to 15 to 37 minutes.
Well, I'm glad to be proven wrong because I like had this big issue. Like, what is with this love touch and consent? And apparently... it's not an issue at all, and I feel so much better about this movie, guys.
It's a little contentious, but yeah. For the most part, if you can opt out, then whatevs.
Go
but
watch Love Potion Number 9 if you want the other thing.
I loved Love Potion Number 9 as a kid, but now I don't know. But I was like super sexual when that thing came out. Okay, don't talk about my life.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the thing. She jumps away from Dr. Douche, and she's like, Mac, it didn't work! It didn't work! I don't like him! I really like you!
And you're my Mr. Right!
No, she doesn't say that. She's like, Aramis, it didn't work! And he pops out, and he says, I'm Mr. Right? Except you say it like Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum, Mr. Right. She didn't ask John.
What's easy? I'm Mr. Right. I'm
okay.
You do it first so all, much better.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Jonathan.
Here's the thing. No, I went. Oh, I went Nick Cage on it.
Yeah, you did.
Oh,
bring
I went
back,
Nick Cage
bring
on
it.
Back.
Bring it down.
Listeners, I have been at Naomi and John's house for close to 6 hours now. I'm not regretting any moment of this.
Okay. Do it as Walken. Do it as Christopher Walken.
I'll do it. No.
Oh,
okay, calm your mic. Calm your mic. Calm your coils. Calm your coils. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm Mr. Right.
I'm Mr. Right.
I'm Mr. Right. No, I f***ed it up. I can't help it.
Christopher okay. Walken is calling right now.
Jonathan, your turn. Go. We're so close to the end.
Oh.
We're so close
what
to the end.
What is it? What is going on?
It's the doorbell. It sounds like Little Mermaid.
Oh. Would you like to buy some propane and propane accessories?
I do not.
There's an Animaniacs episode where they get stopped in the mall by survey ladies. And they're like, do you eat beans? Do you like George Wendt? Would you watch a movie with George Wendt in it? Would you watch a movie with beans that are being eaten by George Wendt?
We're so close to done. How many more notes do you have?
Oh, like literally half a paragraph and a half.
I have my tally marks.
Right, and we have to do our
sum-up-ins.
Yeah, but it's like
I wrote down left. My applaud and my shocked this time, so it shouldn't be too bad. Dude's sexy writhing is super gross.
And then like the cat comes along and like cuddles up with him.
Her name is Bambi, let's not forget.
Bambi the cat comes along and cuddles up with Ted. And at this point, they've had a pretty contentious relationship.
Hey, give my love to Finland.
Mm-hmm. And then Candy comes to give them all margaritas.
She throws one can.
Yeah.
People all over the world,
join hands. Start a love train. Love train.
Sorry. Anyways.
Lady and I scoured the entire credits to find who did the fingernails.
We cannot find the manicurist. If you know who the manicurist was for this movie, please let us know.
We found makeup artists. We found costumers. But there was no artist for the fingernails. And we should probably give them a shout out.
Whoever you are.
So, applauders, we have brought you to to the credits scene of Earth Girls Are Easy. You can turn us off now, but we're probably going to talk for at least 7 to 10 more minutes. Just a Jeff Goldblum amount of minutes.
The right amount.
Just the right amount of minutes. Okay, do you want to know my 4 different contingencies of tally marks?
Sure.
Shirtless men happened, according to my metric, 6 times. Bra/bikini shots were at 8.
Just to be clear, these tallies are like if a guy is shirtless at the beginning of a scene and he, you know, has more than a few shots in that scene, we count that as one.
Yes. I suppose if you were to capture every angle change, my counts could be wrong.
Right.
And I don't hold myself as a super meticulous count keeper, but right. We've got 6 shirtless men shots, not including necessarily beach scenes where there were dozens and dozens and dozens of people. We've got bra shots where people's, or bikini shots where there were explicit nipples / boobs in, not flagrante, but like definitely like the focus of the moment.
Right.
Song cues, no less than 13. Although we could check that with the soundtrack. But here's what I need you to know. My 4th tally, I'm going to rub it on my paper. I'll make sure you can hear it.
Right.
What was shown to us in gratuity, no less than 20 times, were fancy fingernail shots.
And these are shots where, like your eye is drawn.
Oh, do they got a fancy zigzag nail?
Ooh.
Do they have a fancy shiny medallion nail? Mm-hmm. Do they have like short pink polka dot nails?
Am I trying to show off this one thing? And do you see my nail? That's what we're talking about.
Okay. Case in point, you just have to go to the scene where Valerie meets Candy in the break room the first time they go to the Curl Up and Die, and she's making a cup of coffee. If you make a cup of coffee like that, I would like to, 1, see the video. 2, tell me how you validate those series of actions. And 3, she still drops the cup. You think it's because it's like D-bag doctors, like, I'm being a douchebag, but like, no. Really, she just can't hold a cup because she's trying to show off her fancy nails.
Right.
I'll stop ing now. Okay, children, I need you to know several things. 1, Lydia pointed out Fruit Ninja.
Fruit Ninja. So at the very beginning, they when Zeebo is cutting up fruit, it was very Fruit Ninja-esque.
Okay. Second of all, when Valerie calls Dr. Douchebag, I can't think of his name, Ted, when she says, Dr. Ted, you weasel I would like that brought into the lexicon. Please bring it with you into the future.
Gonna call people weasel dicks from now on.
When Candy finds out how long they haven't had sex, she goes,
2 weeks.
Brilliant. Next time somebody tells you they haven't gotten off in 2 weeks, I need you to be like, 2 weeks.
Or just, you know, when someone says, hey, I haven't seen you in like 2 weeks, you'd be like, 2 weeks.
Yeah. Anytime 2 weeks is mentioned, please fill the inferences.
Total Recall, when Arnold Schwarzenegger has got the woman head on and she walks through the line.
What does she say?
Like, how long are you going to be here?
How long are you going to be in Mars? And she says, two weeks.
Did she really?
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
That's one of my favorite parts. Because I love it when things fall apart. Oh.
I love it when a plan falls apart.
Oh. Okay. Do you have any girlfriends back on your planet? He goes,
no, Mr. Right girlfriend.
Dear Jeff Goldblum, I would like my wife back, please.
Here's the thing. Late 90s, early... early 90s, late 80s, Jeff Goldblum, disregard that.
Well, he doesn't exist anymore, because time is linear.
Oh, man. Okay, wait. 2/3 novelty phones. Oh, okay, she's got a phone like a heart in the kitchen, mm-hmm. a phone like lips mm-hmm. in the bedroom. And what does he talk on? Did you notice what he talks on when he's talking to Barbara?
It's another novelty phone. I can't remember what it is, but is it duck phone?
That's my flawless duck call, bitch.
Naomi.
Someone needs to sue him for mallard practice.
We're gonna be done like in 5 minutes. I don't think that's gonna happen.
I envy you editing all of this, husband. I really do, because it's gone way off track. Hey, plotters, good job getting to part three.
Thank you guys for sticking with us. My goodness, it's been like a month.
Let me say part four, part four. Five, part six. Jonathan, you edit in whatever you need.
Okay, so what was the most shocking moment in this movie for you?
Okay. I initially wrote gay joke as my shocked moment. I wrote it down because I was like, you don't get to make fun of, one, gay people, mm-hmm. and two, you don't get to make fun of, like, forcing actors into a position where they have to pretend to be gay, even if they, like, are, like, into it because they're getting paid or whatever. Like, you can't,
right.
like, but then when she snapped out of it because she didn't really want it, I was like, well, if there's an amount of consent even to the love touch, then I don't mind that. Like, let cop on right. cop be cop. Like, even right. if they swish it a bit too hard to make me feel bad, like, about stereotypes, if they could have chosen not to do that, then I'm not gonna, like, fault them on that. So what I did choose is my shocked moment, and I'm sorry to mislead you with my gay cop moment, which I'm fine with now, because they could have chosen not to, right. apparently, right. because metrics. I don't like the complicit to sex crimes part. Are you familiar with that?
Complicit to sex crimes.
Yeah. When the nurse comes in and she's got a gun on her and she's like, you could just call the nurse. And he's like, ain't gonna do it.
Yeah. Yeah. The casual. Yeah. Yeah. That. I mean, I was going to say the dated Mel Gibson, but, you know, the way that they handled that nurse.
And I wouldn't fault you for calling the Mel Gibson thing. That did not age well at all.
No, it didn't. It didn't. But, like, the way that they kind of just treat that nurse, that poor nurse has been on.
I'm going to agree with you because, one, she didn't seem to know how serious he and Val were.
Right.
And then upon knowing that, she was like, I ain't into this. And when she realized that, when she didn't even realize that it wasn't consensual for the two of them, she's like, I'm not into this. I am out.
Right.
She had every right to leave. Right. So that when Gina Davis shows up and is like, I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah. It's kind of like, no, Gina, you can't, because when she knew what was really going on and she was given all of the information, she said, suck this fit.
Good. Good save.
Yeah. So it's like, that is probably like the one moment that I would definitely change in the entire movie.
What is your applaud moment then?
Oh, the sex scene. It's like the best representation of a sex scene I have ever seen. It's not super gratuitous,
uh-huh.
and it's completely, you could see it as being literal, but it's mostly metaphorical.
Between a man and a wife. Mm-hmm. Not gonna lie. That cinches it for me a little bit because when there's a sex scene between two people and one of them is on a different relationship, like, I'm always like, I wonder what such and such thinks about such and such doing it with such and such.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that it's a job and they don't necessarily feel that same way, but that's not my applaud moment.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to know my applaud moment?
Please.
I don't know if you consider yourself a hairy person, but over the course of the summer, my cousin let me know that I come from, he's like, you know how Peter Dinklage as Tyrion was like, that's what I know. I drink and I know things. Like, that's his thing.
Yeah.
My cousin came to me and he's like, we're Danish. We smell and we're hairy. And I was like, that's actually pretty true. Pretty true, man. Can't say that's not true. Right? But then if I went to the blah, 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 which I don't remember the planet's name.
Gisella?
Gisella?
I think it's...
Zabella? Zabella?
Jabella.
Please look at
it's
her.
It's Cabela's.
No, it's not. Go to shockedintoplot.com. Jonathan will clear it all up.
Not true.
I love how this is mostly like, hey, John, I need you to fix my mistakes.
Look, that I could go to Z-ba-ba-ba-ba. And I would be touted as being like just round and bouncy and less hairy. It's like a win for me. I would go to their planet. That's my applaud.
Because you would be accepted because you are...
I'm round and bouncy.
You're round and bouncy.
And slightly less hairy than they are.
Maybe they'd be okay.
They would be fine with it. Mm-hmm. Tell me Z-Bop wouldn't be into this.
Naomi is doing all of this right next to her husband, by the way.
He ain't into it. All right, fine.
Okay, but that's cool. I still love and appreciate your opinion.
The cigarette girl didn't have anything in her cigarette tray but condoms. I wanted to be Julie Brown as a child. I didn't realize the cat's name was Barbie until the end of the film.
Bambi.
I didn't realize the cat's name was Bambi until just this moment.
Guys, I think we're finished.
I think we've reached the end of episode 6 of Shocked and Applaud. And here's the thing I have to tell you. Not everyone would come with us down this rabbit hole. Not many of us would be like, that's a movie I've never watched. I'll never watch. I have watched, but I'm done now.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's on my Netflix queue right now. Oh, no. We paid for it on Amazon Prime.
I paid for it on Google Play.
Hey, now. Holla at your various movie outlets. But what we need you to know is Jonathan's going to talk more. I'm about ready for a production meeting. So if you want to email us suggestions, thoughts, questions, do it at shockedandapplaud@gmail.com or on any of our various social media outlets. Yes. Know that we love you.
And we appreciate your patronage. Not even, I mean, we have a couple of patrons, right?
We got a Patreon.
We have two now.
We have two?
We have two.
My mom.
Your mom?
Yeah, my mom is a...
Okay, can we just do a shout out to our patrons?
Let's talk about Christine and Jeannie, the most beautiful women I've ever seen.
I think it's great that we got patrons, guys. And you know what? Even if you can't, then I'm just glad that you're listening, because that's great. That's great. You guys are great. This is great. This is great.
It ain't bad, man.
No.
You know what? If you giggled once, how much stuff have you giggled out loud to recently? I mean, I listen to this stuff. I re-listen to it to try to figure out why I should stop doing it.
Yeah, I know.
And I'll giggle at something Lydia said or something I said. Or Jonathan jumping in like nothing. I know y'all love Jonathan. Because,
it's great. It's great.
Yeah, really, it's true. So we want you to go into, not only this is probably the end of February, but we want you to go into, you know how they say March enters like a lion and leaves like a lamb? We should go into March like a lion. I want you to leave March like a lion. Be bad. You are so good.
You guys are great.
You really are.
Thank you.
And however this gets edited down, we want you to know that we think you're fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate you being applauders on whatever level, listening to us on whatever other level. And thank you for listening. And here's Jonathan's message. Bye.
Bye, guys.
We hope we didn't travel too far off from the plot. But if you've enjoyed our non-linear approach to reaching a journey's end, I have just the thing for you. March is episode 7. Hey, this is your audio engineer and recently thawed out for husband duties, Jonathan, reminding you that even if we go on break, we still got legs. Do you cross over pawns to the roundest of Brexited tables, dear applauder? I only ask because whoever hosts this show has been spreading the rumor that the next film isn't even American. But don't expect a repeat of Pan's Labyrinth, because we've still got more to come. As in comedy. We've still got more comedy. Yay! I hope you didn't come for an argument. You've got 2 weeks until episode 7 hits the streets, so why not leave an Apple or Google podcast review to help boost us forward in those search engines? Or to really shoulder the weight of the show, help us reach our 2019 digital advertising goals by becoming an official applauder. It's so easy, my mom is one. And she doesn't even like the unbleeped episode she gets for $5 a month. Just search for Shocked and Applaud on Patreon. It's easy to do, and it reminds us why we do it and who we do it for before we hit record. from Shocked in a Plot, thank you for patroning the peculiar.